This is November 3rd. Again, 2022, 2013 hours, Ward Green here. I have some interesting news. That's why I came back on to make this video. My iMac works again for no known reason, even though running first aid on the boot drive failed. In other words, there was no way that it could have worked as a boot drive because first aid failed. Didn't even pass first aid when I ran first aid on it. Let me think. I was running first aid, running Monterey, and then I ran first aid on it from Disk Utility in Monterey. But that should still work because it knows, you know, it didn't tell me it was an incompatible, you know, format or disk type or, you know, OS or whatever, you know, I mean, whatever you call those disk formats, it's not the format maybe, but it's something like the format of the drive, the type of file system, that's it, the file system, yeah. It didn't tell me it was an incompatible file system, and it's not an incompatible file system because it's one of the Mac OS file systems, the standard one that High Sierra runs on, which is run on external drives. You can use that same file system. What's the standard file system in Mac OS? Well, it's not APFS, or maybe it was. Was I running on APFS? I might have been running on APFS, but what are the other ones? Let's look at the other ones. There are the older ones, right? The older Mac OS Extended. Yeah, that one. That's the one I'm thinking of. And you can have journaled or not, you know. You can have encrypted, etc. I don't have encrypted usually, but it's just, you can have case sensitive and, you know, Mac OS. It's Mac OS file system. It's called Mac OS Extended. But then they introduced APFS, and they required it for High Sierra, I believe. Maybe even for Sierra, if I recall. But it became required at some point somewhere in that vicinity of High Sierra. It became a requirement to use APFS. But all of the old Apple file systems are still understood by Monterey. It's still, so there's no way that first aid wouldn't have known that this was if it was an incompatible file system, it would have told me. It ran the check. You know, it did the first aid procedure. It took minutes to do it. Like, it was calculating all the stuff, so it was functioning. And it failed the first aid. It said failed. If it fails first aid, that means you can't do anything but run that again, which I didn't do, but probably would have failed again, you would think. But it failed. All you can do if it fails is reformat if it won't. You know, it's a broken drive. It was a broken drive. I didn't do anything to it. Today, I decided I'm going to bring my other drive from the studio, computer room, the studio, not the computer room, the studio room. This is the computer room, but from the studio, I decided to bring my boot drive in with it's in a Thunderbolt dock. So I just thought I'd just plug it right into the iMac because it's a Thunderbolt iMac. Should work, right? And it would have worked, except I forgot I'd already reconnected my old boot drive, so it chose that boot drive as the preferred boot drive, and it tried to boot from the drive I thought wasn't bootable, and it worked. So I'm booted again. I'm working again. And by the way, it took more than an hour, and it never booted in VirtualBox. I could never... It never succeeded in starting the program PLSV, by the way. Running VirtualBox on Apple Silicon. Let me talk about VirtualBox on Apple Silicon first. PLSV never booted even after 3 hours, 4 hours and a half, 4.5 hours. It still never booted that program. It just sat there looking like it had the splash screen for PLSV and never booted. But while that was sitting there with the splash screen, some hours later, after I tried it, it's something like 3.5 hours, yeah. Four and a half hours later of just having that splash screen sitting there for most of that 4.5 hours, I tried to run, yesterday or the other day, I tried to run SkyChart, and it runs, SkyChart 3. which is an astronomical program. That works, but it's kind of slow, just like all the things are in the emulation version of VirtualBox on Apple Silicon, right? But it's a new thing. It's the beta version. And it's great that it works. But Solex 12.0 works, and it's, again, it's slow, right? I need to cool down a bit. It's slow. That's all. It just runs, you know, and it's not too slow that I couldn't run it, but it's almost too slow. But, you know, I can run it, I think. I didn't experiment with it very much because now I've succeeded here in booting. So as soon as I succeeded in booting, I can't run my virtual machines unless I have the drive hooked up. So I had to disconnect. I had to reconnect the drive that I was running it off of, which was the same drive that I could have taken a different drive, I guess. I should probably have both drives. I should run it off a different drive. I'll just run it off a different drive. That's all. I'll just set it up to run off a different drive on my Apple Silicon so I can experiment with it while I'm running it on the other system. That's probably what I'll do. But for now, I disconnected the drive I was running it on Apple Silicon and reconnected that drive because I already had the cable over there. Everything was ready to just reconnect it. So I reconnected my drive so I could then access and rerun the virtual machine for Windows XP, which I did. And it's running again, same as it always was, same as it did, except it runs better now because it's running from the correct translation, and so it doesn't boot the old whatever translation I used to have that was there every time I booted. It's now booting the one I use all the time. So it's running better than ever. Actually, when I run the ESOR, the Bible research program that I use, it used to boot that program to a different translation, a different book of the Bible, and every time I booted, I'd have to switch over to the one that I wanted, the translation and the book of the Bible I wanted, and the verse and chapter, everything that I was trying to look at for right now. But it does it automatically now. It remembers somehow, and I'm not even sure what that's about. Why it remembers? I mean, I'm not sure it's supposed to remember. I thought it was just supposed to boot from the standard, you know, the standard copy, you know, and then that's what I thought. So, but I'm certainly not going to complain that it's booting to the version, it's booting it the way I want it to. Why would I complain about that? So it's better than before, strangely, and the fact that it boots at all. And by the way, before I rebooted from that, I tried something else. I tried to boot Yosemite from a USB disk. I have a Yosemite install disk on a USB, an install stick on USB for Yosemite, which is another macOS version, for those of you who don't know that. It's an older version, you know, prior to, it might be version 9 or 10 or something. I don't know exactly what it is. And then I think it's version 10, actually, isn't it? I'm not sure. And then, but then version 10 of macOS 10, but then there's High Sierra is version 13. So it's an older version than version 13, anyway, of Mac OS 10. So version 10 would be 10.10, and version 13 is version 10.13, because Mac OS 10 starts with 10, and then the version number is the second pair of digits. So you can look them all up. You can know what they all are by the 10, whatever comes after 10 dot. 10.12 is Sierra, 10.13 is High Sierra, and I don't know the previous ones because I stopped keeping track, but El Capitan is in there. I think El Capitan is probably version 11. I never had Yosemite. I never ran it, but I'm, you know, I've installed it in places, but I've never run it. So anyway, you've got different Mac OS's. So I was going to install this. I just ran this disk and it booted. It boots. So it boots off the USB. There's nothing wrong with the iMac. The display works fine. I got it working, and that was another proof that the display was working fine, which I already knew because I could see that it would all light up, you know. But anyway, there's apparently nothing wrong with the iMac right now, but it could go wrong at any moment, obviously. But strangely, the boot disk works again. So whether somebody was, you know, controlling that from, like, the Russians doing it for, you know, whoever, some hacker. I'm not saying it was the Russians. I'm just saying, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying, could have been anybody, maybe, if a hacker has access to the older Mac OS wouldn't have as good security, right? So if somebody's controlling it, it could be outside, but it could just be a weird problem that happens, you know, that they happen, random disk errors and stuff. It could be all sorts of different stuff, but it's strangely, see, the worst case was I was going to reinstall High Sierra. To do that, I have to boot, so I couldn't do that from my Yosemite install stick. I just wanted to test that and see if I could go in there and examine my hard drive, or my external drive, I mean, the SSD that was formerly my boot drive for the iMac, which is inside a dock, a Sonnet Echo dock. That drive, I connected it, I was going to take a look at it. Then I forgot I connected it. I was going to maybe reformat it or something, or run, I don't know what I was going to do. Run first aid on that system and see what happens. I was going to try stuff, you know, to see, right? What I could do on the iMac. And then I thought, well, no, I'll just bring my other system from out there. It runs High Sierra. Because from High Sierra, I can install High Sierra on an external drive pretty easily, I think, because I can download it. But I'd already downloaded it. I think I already had a copy of it. A copy of the install program, which is probably just a small kernel of the actual install program that it will then download that, the rest of it afterward, once you start installing. But I made copies of the install program for High Sierra if I ever needed to do it again. So I've got those copies on different drives. I can probably find one, and I know I can find one, but I can probably copy one. I mean, to the disk that failed, or copy it copy it to the disk I was running on. But what did I want to run it on? I have to run it. But I wanted to install it on an external drive, so that wasn't going to work. Was it? I don't know if I could control what drive I install on. Normally when you install Mac OS, it installs to your boot drive, I think. I don't think you can install it. I know you can install it on an external drive if you do the right things, but I think it's complicated to get it to install on an external drive is, I think, a lot more complicated. It's not impossible at all. It's just you have to read a lot of stuff, and you have to do a lot of things according to the instructions. And I was going to do that possibly if I had to reinstall, and that would just mean I'd wipe the whole drive, and I just install High Sierra. I just get a copy working of High Sierra, and then I just install VirtualBox, and I'd run these machines. I'd run these things again. The same programs, the virtual machines that I run now. I can't show you them. I can. I showed you yesterday. I've got the... Let's see. Let's get VirtualBox. Okay. Let's say, okay. Let's add a new thing here. I'm going to add a program. Here we go. So it's very slow because this program runs so slowly that my mouse slows down and everything. It doesn't want to do anything. So this is what it looks like. I'm adding. I said, like, I did this. I said add. This is VirtualBox, Oracle VirtualBox. So I say add by clicking plus. Then it gives me an option. So let's try. My other drive does not there anymore, but let's go to this drive and let's try running off this drive. Find the VirtualBox machines. There they are, VirtualBox VMs, virtual machines. I want XP. There it is, the VBox, that one. It likes that selection, so that means it'll work. Because the icon appeared, the meme appeared. I can say open. There it is. This is it, snapshot one. It's this second version here I've got, right? I should rename it. Okay, let's rename this if we can. Can we rename it? Let's see. How do we rename that? It's not letting, okay, settings. Yeah, I can rename it, okay. I'm gonna say HGST because it's running off that drive. So it's running off HGST. The other one I won't name. I'll know that it's the other one. Okay, so now I can try and boot off that, right? It should boot. So this is what it looks like when you try to boot. It seems to be working. This is VirtualBox running on Apple Silicon. It's amazing. This is it's giving me a beta build warning. I click on that to get that to go away. So, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? It's just phenomenal. I was tired. I'm getting my second wind now, but I was tired, just physically tired. I did more physical work today in a shorter time than I normally do. And it was just muscle tiredness, and that recovers, right? So that's I've recovered now, I think. I had real serious muscle fatigue, where I was just, I could barely move my mouth. I was just tired. But I wasn't really tired, just muscle tired, right? I still felt fine. I feel excellent these days. Okay, it's running. Look at this. It says it's running. See that? Running. It's running. It's exciting. This is VirtualBox running on Apple Silicon. And I'm running Windows XP. There it comes. Look at this. It's booting. Okay, I got to get the drive. I got to bring it over. Here it is. Here it is. It knows where it is. I got to find it here. This is not going to work. Hang on a second. There we go. Let's bring it in here if we can. That'll work. Maybe, possibly. It seems to be working. Yeah. Okay. Right. I need to close these. Click on these little things. Get them go away. These things should just disappear when I get rid of them. I don't know. Just notifications. They're just notifying me. Just notifications about the mouse and the auto capture keyboard. But normally I can click on them. Not right now. Maybe. Yeah, it makes me wonder whether the mouse is being detected. Something is wrong about the graphics. I haven't tried to run it on this monitor. So I don't know what happens. Let's bring it over here again on this monitor. Oh, yeah, see, those notifications don't even exist on this monitor. Those notifications weren't real. They were gone. I was clicking on nothing. You couldn't see it, but when I brought it over to my other monitor, those notifications were not there. They were only on this monitor. But now look, it is booting. It looks like. Look, see that? It's changing, so it's still booting. It looks like it's a very small desktop, but it looks like it's booting. That's the Stonehenge wallpaper for the desktop, right? But we'll see what happens here. It seemed to be booting. This is how it looks. This is what it looks like when you boot Windows XP. It takes longer on this system. It takes a lot longer. Here it comes. There it is. So there's the desktop. It just didn't resize here. I could resize it like this, right? I can say full screen, but I have to make sure I can get out of it. I get out of it by Command F, I think. Command F gets me out of it. But it says it will switch to full screen mode. Well, that puts it on a different screen, though. It's not what I want. Okay. Switch out of that. Switch back. And now it's kind of done something wrong here. So these are the glitches. It's the beta version. I guess it's got some issues. What's it say down there? Windows something. Windows GUI? It's got something at the bottom here. I can't read it. Windows Genuine. Oh, yeah, Windows Genuine. That's the warning that it gives you a Windows Genuine notification if you're running a version that you got off the internet or something like that. So, anyway, what is this? How do I get this to work? Well, look. There's a way to get this to work. Maybe, but I don't know how to do it. I mean, I owned Windows XP, so this is not... I'm not running something I never owned. Look at this. There it is. Okay. If something is happening. Look at that. See that? There's the genuine notification. Click on cancel. But it's not giving me the desktop background yet. But it's running. You see? It worked. Okay, it's working better. That looks good. Now it's booted. So it's still not finished the boot because there's another thing that comes up here that's a display up at the top that still has to appear, but I can run these programs. They're just slow. I've run Solex, and I've run SkyChart, which is, where is it? It's not there at the moment. Oh, there it is down here. Well, it wasn't, that's not where it was, I didn't think. But anyway, here it is, SkyChart 3, and then there's, and PLSB's here too, but it's the one that wouldn't run. But it, or it took like 4 hours and still never ran. But Solex ran, 12.0, I ran that. I can probably run it now. It'll probably do something when I click on it. See what happens. It will start to start the program, Solex 12, which normally is very resource modest. It's not a resource hog. It doesn't require a lot of resources. It just runs with fairly basic things, you know, that it needs. It doesn't use a lot of libraries or something, or library resources. I mean, I can't say the word library. Library. I can't say library resources because that's hard to say. Library resources. That's too many R's in a row. You see, look at this. I booted it twice by accident, so I got to click that one to cancel. Oops, I clicked twice. Now what's happened? Did it cancel twice? It's so slow I can't drag the window. See, that doesn't even respond to the mouse. Well, it's trying to boot the second time now. That's what it's doing, I think. It's trying to... So it hasn't yet finished the startup. It doesn't even detect the mouse. Strange. That's how slow it is. It shouldn't be that slow. It wasn't quite that slow before. I'm going to cancel this if I can. There. Okay. So if I run that again, let's see what happens. Try running it. Where is it? It's gone. It disappeared. The icon disappeared. There it is. It's so slow at writing the screen. I clicked on it. Okay. That was one click. Hopefully that's going to know that I clicked once, and it will just start once instead of twice. It takes a few seconds, at least, right? At least a few seconds. Now it should maybe show the window. Oh, look at this. The clock should be more in the center, so that's not right either. It hasn't finished booting. That's right. It still hasn't booted Windows XP yet, because if it had, it would show a lot of other icons at the top, which are part of an interface. Here, look at Solex is booting here. Yeah. This is what I mean. It does boot. Normally it boots much faster. There it is. So it runs. Let's just forget it. Let's just put this aside over here. Let's get rid of that for now. But I'll work on this some other time, right? I'll work on it later today maybe, but whatever. It's fascinating that I can get VirtualBox running. That's the thing. It runs on Apple Silicon. So that's amazing. Plus my old system boots again. Can't show you that because it's on a different monitor. It's not running. The only thing I can show you right now, I could have a cam on it, put my cam on it. I can't show you unless I drag the monitor over here and I could show you on the cam, right? But it's running. It is running. So I need to make a note. Okay. I need to say something important here. iMac works normally again from, what's it booting from? Oh yeah, from the dock. It works, so this is the thing. So that's what I need to know. What time is it? 2036. But I mean, this happened earlier. A lot earlier. I'm going to say about 20 hours. So it was a lot. It was definitely a few minutes ago. And that's what made me want to do this. I'm saying, you know, it's about 20 hours. But it was in the past. It's not accurate. It's because it was in the past. So that was in, what noise was that? I don't know, that little noise that we heard. They've shipped my matcha tea. This is Isaiah 13. Let's do this. Little children, let's try and pick up the one we missed. Well, we also missed Isaiah 5. What am I saying? Let's do Isaiah 5. Let me sing, please, to my beloved one, a song of my loved one concerning his vineyard. There was a vineyard that my beloved one came to have on a fruitful hillside. came to have on a fruitful hillside, and he proceeded to dig it up and to rid it of stones and to plant it with a choice red vine. How many verses is this? 30 verses. Wow. And to build a tower in the middle of it. And there was also a wine press that he hewed out in it, and he kept hoping for it to produce grapes. But it gradually produced wild grapes. And now, O you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you men of Judah, please judge between me and my vineyard. What is there yet to do for my vineyard that I have not already done in it? Why is it that I hoped for it to produce grapes, but it gradually produced wild grapes? And now, please, may I make known to you men what I am doing to my vineyard. There will be a removing of its hedge, and it must be destined for burning down, and there must be a breaking down of its stone wall, and it must be destined for a place of trampling. Burning down, breaking down, and trampling. I shall set it as a thing destroyed. It will not be pruned, nor will it be hoed, and it must come up with the thorn bush and weeds. And upon the clouds I shall lay a command to keep from precipitating any rain upon it. For the vineyard of Jehovah of armies is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the plantation of which he was fond. And he kept hoping for judgment. But look, the breaking of law. For righteousness, but look, an outcry. Jehovah kept hoping for judgment. His vineyard was the house of Israel. Verse 8, woe to the ones joining house to house and those who annex field to field until there is no more room and you men have been made to dwell all by yourselves in the midst of the land. In my ears, Jehovah of armies has sworn that many houses, though great and good, will become an outright object of astonishment without an inhabitant. For even 10 acres of vineyard will produce but one bath measure, and even an omer measure of seed will produce but an ephah measure. Woe to those who are getting up early in the morning, that they may seek just intoxicating liquor, who are lingering till late in the evening darkness, so that wine itself inflames them. And there must prove to be harp and stringed instrument, tambourine and flute, and wine at their feasts. But the activity of Jehovah they do not look at, and the work of his hands they have not seen. Therefore my people will have to go into exile for lack of knowledge, and their glory will be famished men, and their crowd will be parched with thirst. Therefore Sheol has made its soul spacious and has opened its mouth wide beyond bounds. And what is splendid in her, also her crowd and her uproar, and the exultant one will certainly go down into it. An earthly man will bow down, and man will become low, and even the eyes of the high ones will become low, and Jehovah of armies will become high through judgment, and the true God, the Holy One, will certainly sanctify himself through righteousness. And the male lambs will actually graze as in their pasture, and the desolate places of well-fed animals, alien residents, will eat. Woe to those drawing error with ropes of untruth, and as with wagon cords, sin, those who are saying, let his work hasten, do let it come quickly, in order that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe to those who are saying that good is bad and bad is good, those who are putting darkness for light and light for darkness, those who are putting bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those wise in their own eyes and discreet even in front of their own faces. Woe to those who are mighty in drinking wine, and to the men with vital energy for mixing intoxicating liquor. Those who are pronouncing the wicked one righteous in consideration of a bribe, and who take away even the righteousness of the righteous one from him. Therefore, just as a tongue of fire eats up the stubble, and into the flames mere dried grass sinks down, their very rootstock will become just like a musty smell, and their blossom itself will go up just like powder, because they have rejected the law of Jehovah of armies, and the saying of the Holy One of Israel they have disrespected. That is why the anger of Jehovah has grown hot against his people, and he will stretch out his hand against them and strike them, and the mountains will be agitated, and their dead bodies will become like the offal in the midst of the streets. In view of all this, his anger has not turned back, but his hand is stretched out still. And he has raised up a signal to a great nation far away. And he has whistled. To it at the extremity of the earth. And look, in haste it will swiftly come in. There is no one tired, nor is anyone stumbling among them. No one is drowsy, and no one sleeps, and the belt about around their loins will certainly not be opened, nor the laces of their sandals be torn in two, because their arrows are sharpened, and all their bows are bent. The very hooves of their horses will have to be accounted as flint itself, and their wheels as a storm wind. The roaring of theirs is like that of a lion, and they roar like maned young lions. And they will growl and grab hold of the prey and bring it safely away, and there will be no deliverer. And they will growl over it in that day with the growling of the sea. And one will actually gaze at the land, and look, there is distressing darkness. And even the light has grown dark because of the drops falling on it. That's Isaiah chapter 5. It's quite detailed, quite intense, quite informative about the fact that it's Jehovah's own people that he's judging here, that he's causing to be judged because of their behavior. They get up early in the morning, some of them anyway. Certainly, this is why they're being judged, because they have lack of knowledge and they get up early in the morning. Lack of knowledge, it says in verse 13. But in verse 11, they get up early just to drink liquor, and then they linger late at night drinking wine, and they're just... degenerate, I guess you'd call them, or something. They're just hedonistic, or they're just, you know, seeking some kind of numbing of their senses, you know, instead of trying to seek the truth. Look at this. Yeah. So this is a song about the vineyard. It's interesting because this has some relation to the Song of Solomon. There was a vineyard in that song, or in that book, I mean, which was a Song of Solomon. But yeah, the vineyard was a symbol. The vineyard of Jehovah in verse 7 is the house of Israel. And so this vineyard was talking about the house of Israel being, you know, it represented the house of Israel. So it's fascinating that, you know, it says, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you men of Judah, please judge between me and my vineyard. Sounds like Jehovah's asking, it sounds like Jehovah speaking here, saying all these things, that his beloved one is Israel, and, or at least, no, his beloved one is Jesus, and Jesus planted the vineyard of Israel, with Jesus being the right hand representative of Jehovah in heaven prior to coming to earth. This could represent, there are a lot of things we could try to interpret this as meaning. But the vineyard represents Israel, it says in verse 7. So who the beloved one is the person who planted the vineyard of Israel, whoever that is. Whoever we would want, choose to believe that that was. But his beloved one, it says. It's interesting. Whoever's singing here is singing to his beloved one who planted the vineyard, and the vineyard is Israel. So take from that what we may. We need to meditate on what that means. But the breaking of law in verse 7 is what they did instead of righteousness. And that's why they were being judged in verse 7. Jehovah was hoping for judgment and righteousness from them, but he didn't get that. He got something else, an outcry. So that's that verse. That's that chapter, I mean. Woe to those who are mighty in drinking wine, verse 22. And to the men with vital energy for mixing intoxicating liquor, in the same verse. But there are also those pronouncing the wicked one righteous in consideration of a bribe, and who take away even the righteousness of the righteous one from him. That's a serious problem. We see that in the world today, don't we? Where somebody tries to be righteous, and then somebody else will try to smear that person's name and smear their reputation. That happens a lot because of the unrighteousness of the person who is doing these things, who is unable to acknowledge that anybody besides the people they approve of, you know, can have any kind of credit. They try to take away the credit from anybody who's righteous, because it makes them accountable as to why they're not being righteous, or it makes them feel uncomfortable, or it makes them nervous, you know, uneasy that there's somebody who's righteous. They can't accept that anyone is righteous, so they have to try to smear that person to prevent that from ever occurring. Isaiah 13, the pronouncement against Babylon. But we know that the judgment will be against those people, as we read there. Let's go back in our history here. Isaiah 5 again. Right. The grave, Sheol, in verse 14, has made its soul spacious. And what is splendid in Israel and her crowd and her uproar will go down into it, certainly, even the exultant one. So Jehovah of armies will become glorious because he will judge in this case, it's his own people. He's judging it. Those of his own people who didn't behave correctly, they didn't behave righteously. But the good news is he will sanctify himself through righteousness, and the male lambs will actually graze as in their pasture. And the desolate places of well-fed animals, alien residents will eat. But look at this, the drawing of error with ropes of untruth. This is a great illustration. I mean, this is a fantastic illustration. Only in the Hebrew do we get these kinds of illustrations that are so phenomenal, so vivid. They're drawing, woe to those drawing error with ropes of untruth, as with wagon cord sin. It's crazy to think of, they're pulling these wagons full of sin with ropes. And they want, and they're also saying, let Jehovah's work come quickly. They're saying, you know, let's see it. Let's see Jehovah's righteousness. Let's see him execute judgment on us. Let's see it happen. We want to see it. Let it come quickly. They're not even trying to deny it. They're trying to hasten it and say, let's have Armageddon come now. You know, we want to see it now. It says, woe to those people. We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be trying to hasten the judgment of Jehovah. No, but they're trying to hasten it. Let his work hasten, they're saying. Verse 19. It's so interesting. And we hear it so rarely. The truth about this thing, this matter, we don't often hear, if ever. We never hear it, essentially. I never hear it until I read it here. But their rootstock will become like a musty smell. Verse 24. Their blossom will go up just like powder. Could mean a powder in the flame, because the tongue of fire eats up the stubble. In 24, verse 24, at the beginning of that verse. He will stretch out his hand, verse 25, against them and strike them. And this is talking about his people in verse 25. Against his people, he will stretch out his hand against them and strike them. The offal in the streets. Offal is refuse or something like that. I've got my dictionary here somewhere. Let's get the dictionary up here. See. Offal. The entrails, used as food, refuse or waste material, decomposing of animals, decomposing animal flesh, so it'll just become dead carcasses in the streets, their dead bodies. In view of all this, his anger is not turned back. Jehovah's anger is not turned back, What does that mean? In view of all this, his anger is not turned back. His hand is stretched out still. His anger is not turned back. That means he's not changing his mind. But why would it change? Why would he change his mind? Simply telling them it's going to happen is not going to be enough. He's not going to turn back his anger just because he's warned them. He's still angry, but his hand is stretched out still. I'm trying to understand why does it need to say his anger is not turned back? Okay, it's just letting us know even though his anger is not turned back, his hand is still outstretched. He's still calling to his people, come back to me. Even though his anger is still there, he's still angry and he's going to execute judgment if they don't turn back. But he's whistled to a nation far away. Look at this. At the extremity of the earth, he's calling in another nation who's going to come in swiftly in verse 26. And no one is tired among them in verse 27. They're going to be very energetic. They're going to execute vengeance. In verse 28, their arrows are sharpened. Right? And so they roar like lions in verse 29. They're going to be fierce. This is the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 5. It's quite something. It's quite vivid. Chapter 13 of Isaiah is against Babylon, and it's fairly long, too. But we still have time. The pronouncement against Babylon that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw in vision. Upon a mountain of bare rocks, raise up a signal, you men. Lift up the voice to them. Wave the hand, that they may come into the entrances of the nobles. I myself have issued the command to my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for expressing my anger, my eminently exultant ones. Listen, a crowd in the mountains, something like a numerous people. Listen, the uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathered together. Jehovah of armies is mustering the army of war. They are coming from the land far away, from the extremity of the heavens, Jehovah and the weapons of his denunciation to wreck all the earth. Howl, you people, for the day of Jehovah is near. As a despoiling from the Almighty it will come. That is why all hands themselves will drop down and the whole heart itself of mortal man will melt. And people have become disturbed. Convulsions and birth pains themselves grab hold. Like a woman that is giving birth, they have labor pains. They look at each other in amazement. Their faces are inflamed faces. Look, the day of Jehovah itself is coming, cruel both with fury and with burning anger. in order to make the land an object of astonishment, and that it may annihilate the land's sinners out of it. For the very stars of the heavens and their constellations of Kesel will not flash forth their light. The sun will actually grow dark at its going forth, and the moon itself will not cause its light to shine. And I shall certainly bring home its own badness upon the productive land, and their own error upon the wicked themselves. And I shall actually cause the pride of the presumptuous ones to cease, and the haughtiness of the tyrants I shall abase. I shall make mortal man rarer than refined gold, and earthling man rarer than the gold of Ophir. That is why I shall cause heaven itself to become agitated, and the earth will rock out of its place at the fury of Jehovah of armies and at the day of his burning anger. And it must occur that, like a gazelle chased away, and like a flock without anyone to collect them together, they will turn each one to his own people, and they will flee each one to his own land. Every one that is found will be pierced through, and every one that is caught in the sweep will fall by the sword, and their very children will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be pillaged, and their own wives will be raped. Here I am arousing against them the Medes, who account silver itself as nothing, and who, as respects gold, take no delight in it, and their bows will dash even young men to pieces. And the fruitage of the belly they will not pity. For sons their eye will not feel sorry. And Babylon, the decoration of kingdoms, the beauty of the pride of the Chaldeans, must become as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. She will never be inhabited, nor will she reside for generation after generation. And there the Arab will not pitch his tent, and no shepherds will let their flocks lie down there. And there the haunters of waterless regions will certainly lie down, and their houses must be filled with eagle owls. And there the ostriches must reside, and goat-shaped demons themselves will go skipping about there, and jackals must howl in her dwelling towers, and the big snake will be in the palaces of exquisite delight. And the season for her is near to come, and her days themselves will not be postponed. Isaiah chapter 13, against Babylon. The pronouncement against Babylon, that's what this was about. That Babylon would also be judged by Jehovah, by the Assyrians. The Medes, sorry. In this case, the Medes, not the Assyrians. It was the Medes. But who was it? It was the Medes. It wasn't the Assyrians who conquered Babylon. We know it was the Medes and the Persians. Medes and Persians conquered Babylon. We know that. And we know that let me think. Oh yeah, we know that was 539 BCE. So this is quite a bit. This is a couple hundred years after Isaiah that this happened. The Medes came against Babylon, but Isaiah prophesied it. In verse 17, here I am arousing against them the Medes. And it was the Medes and Persians who actually conquered Babylon, overthrew it. It's true. It came true. But this was the prophecy, the account of the prophecy against Babylon by Isaiah in chapter 13. And also, we might note something here. It says that nobody would ever live there again, right? It would not be inhabited. And that place where Babylon used to stand, I know up until recently anyway, I don't know right now, at the present time, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe somebody could pitch their tent there, and maybe it's possible, but it says that nobody would live there, and there's no city there now, as far as I know. There wasn't. Up till recently, there was no city. Babylon was gone. It just disappeared off the face of the earth, and that place was not inhabited, just like the prophecy said. So it was interesting to see that, and some nice illustrations again about the big snake would be in the palaces of exquisite delight. That's quite an illustration. Anyway, that was the big snake in verse 22. In the palaces of exquisite delight. But this was Babylon that would be destroyed and was destroyed, and it said she will never be inhabited. So, whatever that means. I mean, whatever it means in terms of up until now, perhaps no one has been inhabiting Babylon, and if that continues, then this will be still will come true, but we don't know for sure what's going to happen in the future. We don't know if somebody will attempt to inhabit that place again. According to this prophecy, she won't continue for generation after generation. Anyway, it says here, it's come true. It has come true. That prophecy has come true in large measure. Let's say that. Very large measure. For thousands of years, it came true. It was true for thousands of years. Babylon was wiped out for thousands of years. You know, it's interesting. From 539 up until, you know, the year whatever, 2000 something, up until now. It may well continue like that. It's still at least 2500 years that came true, that remained a fulfilled prophecy. It's quite a powerful thing to see that the word of God is true and does come true and does have power. It has a lot of truth in it. Okay, it's 51 minutes. We should, or 52 minutes in a couple seconds. It will be 52 minutes. I think we could probably stop the study right now. The good news is my old iMac's back working again, which the reason it didn't boot was an unbootable drive. I got a question mark when I did my whatever instructions I got from Apple support. You know, I followed those instructions. I guess I did Command R as well. I tried to restore from online, an online recovery, but that failed. And that's what, for some reason, it told me to contact support and gave me a number, but I didn't do that. But it gave me a question mark when I was trying to boot. At some point in my efforts, I got a question mark, and that means the boot drive is questionable. Couldn't find the boot drive. Then when I later on connected the boot drive to my other computer, my M1 Mac Mini, and I did a first aid on that drive, it failed. So this is Ward Green. It's November 3rd, but now it's working again, by the way. The iMac works again, 2011 iMac back in business, running VirtualBox there, and I'm running the beta version of VirtualBox here again, also on Apple Silicon. I'm testing it out. It's going to be interesting. November 3rd, 2022, 2106 hours. Ward Green saying, I love you. Bye for now. I hope this video is not too long. Have a great night.